In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God.
Amen.
Amen. For the past 3.5 weeks, the Holy Orthodox Church has been participating in a 40-day fast called the Nativity Fast. And you all know that. And we do this in order to prepare for the day when we will come together again to celebrate the miraculous birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on December 25th. And it's each year during this fasting time that we have the opportunity as a church to increase our spiritual effort and focus on the things that can liberate us from worldly things, so that we are more free to concentrate on heavenly things. That's what fasting's about. And how do we do that? Through incorporating more time for prayer, and through reaching out to the needy by giving alms, and through our own effort at inner reflection and confession. Because fasting is a way for us as Christians to help develop a sense of self-discipline and self-control. And we do this through building a routine of regular spiritual exercise, just like an athlete who benefits from a regular routine of physical exercise. Fasting is a method which is meant to help us become better Christians. And one of the ways that the church helps us to incorporate this, especially during this Nativity fast, is through the celebration of several feast days that occur during this time. Between November 15th, the beginning of the Nativity fast, and December 25th, the Nativity itself, the church recognizes multiple well-known saints, all who are examples of something called humility. And all these individuals benefited from this method that the church gives us of fasting. And we also remember a couple of very important historical events during this time. Number one, the entrance of the Theotokos into the temple, the day her parents brought her and laid her at the feet of God, and the conception of the Theotokos by her mother, Saint Anna. These two events in particular during this time help us to maintain our focus during this time of fasting by reminding us that it's Mary, the Theotokos and mother of our Lord, who is the ultimate example of humility for us, because she is the ultimate example of humanity for us. And God created us as human beings to be humble. And as a true and living temple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, her faithful obedience also reminds us that we are all created to be living temples of God and living temples of His divine glory. And so, who are some of these saints that we commemorate and remember during this Nativity fast? The fast begins with the Apostle Philip. And we also remember during this time St. Matthew the Evangelist, and St. Catherine the Great, and St. Andrew, who was called the first apostle. and St. Barbara the Great, St. Nicholas the Wonder Worker, St. Spyridon, and also St. Ignatius, they call the God-bearer of Antioch. All of these saints are very well known, and they all fall during this period of the Nativity. And most of them are either depicted here in our dome, or on our iconostasis, or in one of the icons somewhere depicted in our church. But during this time of year, we also remember another well-known saint who I didn't mention, and his name is Savas. They call him the Sanctified. And his feast, we commemorated just this past week. I think it was Tuesday, on December 5th. And the life of St. Savas has much to teach us about where our focus should be during this fasting time of preparation for Christ's nativity. From a very young age, because of a broken family situation, St. Savas was sent to go and live in a monastery and be raised by monks. And he eventually ended up in one of the great monasteries located in Palestine. However, later on in life, because he desired to develop even a deeper relationship with God, St. Savas left the monastery in Jerusalem for a life to be lived in a cave, in isolation as a hermit, out in the Kedron Valley, in the desert, somewhere between Bethlehem and the Dead Sea. And it was there in that cave that St. Savas became very well known for his spiritual way of life. And many people would come, travel and walk and get out there as best as they could to visit him in this cave so that they could benefit from his example and from his teaching. So at the age of 59, St. Savas decided that he would build a church out there in the middle of the desert and build a monastery for all those people who would come to visit him so that they could stay close by and that they could put his spiritual principles into practice. And at one point, we know that his mother even came out to live with him in the desert. And so he built a monastery for her as well, because monasteries only accepted men. St. Savas died in the year 532. But today, many people still travel to visit this most beautiful and ancient monastery that he built. It's called Mar Savas. They go to see the cave where he lived and to witness for themselves the uncorrupt body of St. Savas that is still lying there in the church. And there was a group of us last March who had the opportunity to visit that monastery and to see that body and to be blessed by that visit. They traveled to see him because the life of St. Savas was truly a life that was lived in simplicity and in modesty, in prayer and in obedience and in service and also in an uncompromised focus on all the things that are holy. That was his intention. That's who St. Savas was. But most importantly, it's written about this incredible saint, St. Savas, that his life can be summed up in really just with one simple word: humility. And it's the same virtue of humility that we heard about in the gospel lesson this morning. The gospel was about the time that Jesus healed a woman in a synagogue on the Sabbath day, it says. It says that the woman had been crippled for 18 years, and that because of her infirmity, she couldn't stand up straight. And so Jesus healed her. But it also says in that gospel that the ruler of the synagogue was not happy that Jesus would heal somebody on the Sabbath day, which was the Jewish day of rest. And according to this man, Jewish law instructs that no work should be done on that day at all. And so in response to this Jewish leader, the gospel says that Jesus rebuked him. He rebuked him for his lack of understanding the spirit of what that law was meant to be. Because the spirit of that law was meant so that all worldly activity would stop during that day, in order to fill the world with holy activity during that day, to meditate on holy things on the Sabbath, and to rejoice in God's holy works. And there is nothing more holy than to be in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is there? And to be a first-hand witness of one of his miraculous acts of mercy. But somehow, the ruler of the synagogue missed this meaning, most likely because of his own pride and in his own arrogance in thinking that he understood this law better. But he was wrong, because God's way, the way of mercy, is the purpose of the law in the first place. The guidelines given to us by God that help to lead us in this life, including fasting and including prayer and including meditation and reflection, are meant to help us develop a heart that is merciful, and a heart that is gracious, and a heart that is loving, and a heart that is giving. And if it does anything else, then we too are missing the point. Christ says that there's a time and there's a purpose for everything. That the time for fasting, he says, is not when we are in his presence. It's intended as a method to help us become prepared for the time when we will be in the presence of the Lord. Because being in the presence of God and receiving his mercy and his grace by default always takes precedence over any law that's meant to prepare us for that reception. This is the point of the gospel lesson today. And it's this point that was missed by the ruler of the synagogue. In his arrogance, he was more concerned with following a law than he was to humbly recognize that any day we receive the mercy of God is a day for celebration. It's a day for rejoicing, like it says that the people did at the end of this gospel lesson this morning. They went away rejoicing because of what they had experienced. And so Jesus rebuked this ruler of the synagogue, and he called him a hypocrite. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if the life of the saints and if the life of the Theotokos And if this Nativity fast is teaching us anything, it's teaching us that there is no substitute at all for humility. And there's no substitute at all for God's mercy. And in this life, if we allow anything to come between us and those things, then we are missing the true meaning of the fast itself. And we're missing the true meaning of the church's feast day celebrations given to us during this time. And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may this Nativity fast, in all that it is meant to prepare us for, be not a source of restriction for us, like what happened to the ruler in the synagogue that we heard about in the gospel lesson this morning. But as we meditate on the meaning of Christ's birth again this year, may the Nativity fast be a source of inspiration and liberation, freeing us to focus on acquiring the virtues of humility for ourselves and the virtue of prayer for ourselves and the virtue of modesty for ourselves and the virtue of obedience. Like the example of the Theotokos shows us through her life. And by the example of St. Salvas, who went to dwell in a cave in the middle of the desert to be closer to God. And by the example of all those saints who were remembering during this most blessed and this most holy time of the year. Blessed Nativity fast to you. May God continue to give us the strength that we need in order to be prepared for the day when we will come together on December 25th and celebrate His Nativity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.